Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Please join us at liveparanormal.com. And all of our syndicates, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Player FM, Blog Talk Radio, the list goes on and on. There are more that I need to memorize all the time. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. And I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host. And this is Raising the Vibration. Raising the Vibration, the radio show, is an outreach of a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in 2016 to carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane. This show is about ascension. It's about evolvement. It's about inspiration, and it's about love. So in essence, what are you doing to raise your own vibration? How is that adding to your personal evolvement? How are you taking both of those two things that you've amassed and inspiring others to do the same? I love the expression, you send the elevator down and you bring up 20 people. What are you doing to do that? And how much are you throwing love into it? The show is about passion. It's about service. It's about what are you doing to make the world a better place? And my guest all this hour certainly understands that. She's a wonderfully talented psychic medium. I will call her a demonologist. I don't know if she does, but I will. She fights the dark forces of the universe. She's a wonderful person, beautiful paranormal investigator, and a very dear friend. Please welcome to the show the most amazing, my most amazing friend that I'm so happy always to bring here. Mama Lisa Phillips is here. How are you, my friend? It's wonderful to have you here, and so great to hear your voice.
Oh, darling, it is so wonderful to be here. How are you? Oh, my God, I've missed your voice.
I'm good. I had COVID, and ever since I had COVID,
yes,
I have the long symptoms that come back, and every once in a while,
yes,
I just get like a little piece of phlegm on my lung that needs to be coughed out, or I have the raspy voice. So I thank God for the mute button on the phone. And
yeah, you have it. Yeah,
no.
You don't know what happened over here. Really fast. I'll try to go through it really fast. The beginning of December.
Sure.
My mom thought that she had pulled a muscle in her chest. 2 o'clock in the morning, she's in the bathroom getting sick as a dog. And I said, nope, we're going to the hospital. And she had fluid on her lungs. So we had to do, on her heart, in between her heart and lungs. So we had to do a surgery to get the drainage in there. So we were in the hospital for a few days. She caught COVID while she was in there.
Oh, of course.
But everyone
right.
kept telling me, no. This is just, this is normal after this type of surgery. Her oxygen levels dropped 6 days later. We go back and they go, oh, she has COVID. And then the real fight began because, you know, the first doctor we saw immediately wanted to put her on remdesivir. And I said, no. I said, she was born with small kidneys, one smaller than the other, but they're both small compared to the average female. I said, you give her remdesivir. I said, that's a death sentence. I said, it's got a 26% fatality rate, especially for those that have any type of organ stress or issue. Anyway, so
yes.
I fought, and by the time I got them to give her ivermectin, she'd had the right lower lung lobe was crystallized and the left one was starting to. And I fought. And even after they gave that to her, there was another doctor that quickly took her off of it. And I said, that's not your right. I said, I've got medical power of attorney. You don't get to do this. I said, you know, no. And but we fought, but she was already getting better. She was already coming off of the oxygen that she had been on. She'd been on 9 liters. But then she was having these shakes. And I said, she's had those since they gave her, because when she had the first situation, oh, my God, all the medications that she was on. And all of a sudden, she was non-responsive. And this was the week of Christmas, and her birthday is the 22nd of December. And so they were like, we don't care. You and your daughter come up here. So Sharon and I went up there. We were going up there daily. We had gotten another doctor in there, and he said, I think that the healing power comes. He said, they need family. Can you come up here? I said, yeah, absolutely. So we were given 2 hours a day. And so we go up there, and on her birthday, she looked at us and she said, she goes, I've been talking to John and Evie, and oh, I haven't even had a chance to tell you this. My brother John, we didn't even know it, but my niece contacts us and said, hey, Dad died from COVID. Just thought you should know.
I'm so sorry, sweetie.
And we were like, okay. So my mom, who had had a very tumultuous relationship because of my sister-in-law, she looked at me and she goes, she said, John said he's at peace. She said, I've been talking to John, and my, you know, Sharon and I are looking at each other going, well, this is it. Okay. Yeah. And Evie is her husband that passed away.
But,
that was
the love
of her life.
Sometimes when they talk to spirit, they're going, but sometimes it's because they're coming back. Sometimes spirit tells them, like, it's not your time. It's not your time. Bye-bye.
She was given the choice. She went to where there was no response. The next day, the 23rd, they were running all kinds of tests. They're like, we don't understand this. Everything is fine. She's breathing fine. All the lab work, you know, because I kept up with that every day with her stuff. They said, we don't understand. We don't know what's wrong. That they were doing brain scans. I mean, you name it. This woman had this test because they freaked out. So Christmas Eve morning, we get a phone call. And it's my mother, and she goes, you going to come see me today? Sharon and I said, yep, be right there. And we went up there, and she was still having problems, kind of slurring with her words and stuff. And she said, and I said, so you came back to us? And she goes, well, I was given the choice. She said, Lord and I went for a walk. I said, you did.
Oh, nice.
And she told me about it. And she said, we were on the beach. And she said, I was a little girl, and he was holding my hand. And he said, you've done what you went there to do. If you want to come home, you can come home. He said, but if you want to stay, I'm going to let you know that Nico's going to need you one day. And, you know, that's my grandson that we're raising. And they have a very special relationship. And she said, so I thought about it. I said, so you knew that you were dying? She goes, yeah. She said, I could see. I knew. She said, so I decided I'd come back and that I'd stay here because it may be 10 years, but he's going to need something from me.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
She goes, where's my oxygen? And I said, you've been off of that for 3 days. I said, 7 days to the date that you got your medication. I said, you were off the oxygen. She'd been at 9 liters a day, forced oxygen. And so she was having some trouble when she would get up. So, you know, she had to learn to inflate her lungs. She went to rehab, and she's been home. She's been getting better. She's been getting stronger. She's frustrated because, you know, she's had to use her walker and her cane again. And then and the reason I said it's been a day is because last night she started having those same pains. So off we go to the hospital, and they said, fluid's building back up. We're going to keep her and do some tests. We had a whole bunch of people praying, sending healing energy, the whole nine yards, all day long. First test she had, they said it looks like she may have a blockage. And I'm like, okay, well, that would explain the fluid's building up, especially with all the medicine that she's already been on, which I wish I could find natural things to replace these things with, but I've not been able to. And
What is, no, wait a minute.
The
what
whole
is she
group
on?
Of them. Oh, sweetheart. She is on, she's on about five or six different medications for AFib, high blood pressure. The, she's got a blood clot that they suspect.
Okay. Well, I can tell you right now, so for the high blood pressure, beetroot, flaxseed oil,
yeah,
red yeast rice. We'll bring it right down.
Well, and you know,
amazing,
what? We've not been having.
I've taken them all myself.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, then it, what about the AFib? Do you know anything
what
for
they
that?
Have her on? Is she on amiodarone?
I think that's
or do they
how
have her on a blood thinner? Yeah, that
they've got
that
her on Eliquis.
Great. Yeah, I'm not, because I'm on the amiodarone, I'm not on a blood thinner because I haven't been an AFib now in 2.5 years. But
right.
I mean, honestly, if she took turmeric, she would need a lot less of the Eliquis.
Yeah. Okay.
She should take a CoQ10. That will totally help with the AFib. That helps with kind of thinning
she's
out the heart.
She's already been taking
stuff.
That. Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
She's,
that's
she was taking
thing.
That on a daily basis. Yeah.
Yeah.
All yeah, right.
There's all kinds
so
of stuff
we, yeah,
that
we've
she
got
can take instead of. Yeah. The blood
okay,
thinner
good,
is bad.
Because
I don't like the blood thinner.
No, I don't either. And that's the one that scares me the most with it. So, you know, we're putting it out there and then
good.
We definitely will try some things.
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
yeah because, I mean,
know,
but
I'll
she's
text,
out there.
I'll text you all that if you want.
Yes. Yes, 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 please do. And then I'll send you what she's on and maybe you can have it. Because this has just been a whirlwind because, oh, yeah, the best part about it, because she had come home and she had COVID, Nico and I had had the flu and strep throat that week. So we had to stay away from her and Randy took care of her. He got COVID. And we have a doctor
yeah.
over here that's great and prescribes, you know, the HCQ and the ivermectin. And he'd already started with, they thought it was the flu. But then he'd already started with the pneumonia. He got on all the medications and the right breathing treatments. And within, and of course, you know, we always have our vitamins. And I told him, I said, double up on them. I said, ever since I had mono and I get sick, I double up and triple up on them. And it
oh,
builds
God,
the
I've taken
system.
Zinc every
yeah.
single day for almost two years since I had COVID. And I know they say you're not supposed to take zinc long term. But you know what? I don't know that I have a choice
oh,
right
I didn't
now
know that.
Because I'm sure... with my system.
I do.
You're supposed to only take it. They used to say you're supposed to only take it like when you're sick and not in between. But since COVID with
oh,
my immune
but they
system
put it in everything
so weak,
now. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, they should. Yeah.
We do.
Seriously.
Yeah, we do.
It's like
we've been
a Big Mac
it
now.
Daily.
Big Mac at McDonald's. Zinc. Yeah, everything. Right? Would you like to try with zinc?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Would you please?
It's like...
Coke
even
Zero,
the kids' vitamins. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, but it was funny because it went through everybody. Nico ended up having it. You know, we're doing this whole thing, and then when everybody's over it, I get it. And I had it for 3 days. So it was, you know.
Yeah.
It
just
was,
keep boosting your
Yeah, it was not
afterwards.
As bad. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, see, but when I had mono so many years ago, that one convention that I missed because, again, it was funny because mom brought it home from the hospital from one of her surgeries. And
right.
I got mono from her. And but it has always, ever since then, and we're talking, God, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, if I get
right.
sick, if I don't increase my vitamin intake, and I take liquid vitamins. I have a place that we get our vitamins from, and I take as many of them liquid as possible. And but if I don't do that, oh, honey, I'm down and out. I have to do it.
Yeah.
And but
yeah.
Mom, today, I'll finish the story. Mom, today, she had to go for a nuclear stress test because obviously she couldn't do the regular one.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours later, they called and they said, we don't see anything. It had to have been a glitch. And the lab work must have been picking up on the AFib or something along those lines, because there's no blockage. There's nothing. We're sending her home.
Yeah. Well, AFib is
yeah.
Not – this is like the medical intuitive show, isn't it? AFib is not technically a heart problem. It's a pinch in a nerve.
Yeah.
So it's not a heart
yes.
problem. It just affects your heart.
No, it's
because
not.
The
yes.
the vagus nerve controls the top two chambers of your heart. So instead
right.
of your
and
heart
if it doesn't
beating
open
like
and
boom,
close correctly.
Boom,
mm-hmm.
boom, boom, it beats like boom, 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 boom. So you feel like, I always say AFib feels like somebody shot a rat up with meth and let it loosen my chest.
Yes.
It's like never, but some yes. people can't feel it. Some people are in AFib, they don't even know. But I
know. We didn't know with mom.
So.
Yeah, but you pay attention.
Some people don't
know.
Yeah. And
right.
my cardiologist
That's
told me
like
once,
they never...
you're so lucky. I said, it's so painful when I go into AFib, and he said, you're so lucky, because most people are in AFib for like a year, and they don't even know, and that's when you get the blood clots and the problems happen. So the fact
that's
that
right.
I recognize it and I track it, and then if anything feels out of place, when I was first in the ICU, the nurse taught me to put my thumb on my pulse on my wrist and count. And, you know, I'm a musician, so I got rhythm. So I put my thumb, if I have any questions, I put my thumb there and I count and just make sure it's not out of whack or it's everything. Because when the AFib happens, you can feel the difference. You can doesn't feel quarter notes anymore. It feels like it doesn't feel the same. So,
no.
Yeah. I mean, but there are things that you can do. And I corrected a lot of it with lifestyle. One of the most important things is don't go to sleep anywhere near after you've eaten. That is a huge
right.
thing. They call AFib the family,
right.
the holiday disease, because people get it for the first time after they've eaten a ton on the holidays. So,
and then they just go
right
to bed.
To
you
sleep.
Can't do that.
Right. So I don't go to sleep for 4 hours after I've eaten. And if I'm going to lay down and not sit up when I sleep, 7 hours. So I've been doing intermittent
gotcha.
Fat, and I've lost a lot of weight since August, and I really love it.
Really?
I've
heard of that because,
I love it.
I just haven't
done it. I cut myself off like by 6:30, and I don't eat again until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Gotcha. I've been eating smaller portions and increasing my water intake.
Oh, yeah, and my water
and,
always.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, my water, that's most of what I drink anyway, you know. And I had one doctor look at me and he said, can you give up the coffee? And I said, no. I'm 52 years old. I'm not giving it up. I'm like, and that's, we're going to have to work around that. That coffee is like, you know, if I could get it intravenously, I probably would, just saying. but.
Yeah.
But, you know that we just passed out. Well, you know, it's been 2.5 years since I quit smoking. And
good.
It's been amazing. It has been absolutely amazing. Because, you know, I smoked for so long, and then I woke up and my angel said, today's the day. And I said, you know what? You're right. And I called my doctor and I said, hey, you remember that medication that helped me before kind of quit smoke? And he goes, yeah. And I said, let's do that again. I took it for like 6 or 7 days. I went, yeah, I don't need this. And haven't had anything or the cravings, you know, because we as female tend to go back to it because that tends to be our, okay, I can't deal. I need to chill. And when I had first started quitting, that was when I really started getting into yoga. I had done it for a few years before that, but, you know, kind of off and on. But that's really when I started getting into it. And I did it for the relaxation. And it helped a lot.
I love that. Yeah, that's so wonderful. You know, we are always being watched out for. And spirit is always sending us messages, right? We're always getting messages about what we need to correct in ourselves. It's just that sometimes we blow those messages off. You know,
we just ignore them until they come with a 2x4 and smack us in the head and go, hey, there's a reason you need to do this.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And sometimes things are just taken care of for us. I remember the first time we ever talked on the phone, and you probably don't remember this because I don't know if people realize when you're listening, when you channel, you don't remember everything you say when you channel. I mean, some things
you do,
but some things are given to you in the moment and then taken away. So the first time that we talked, I told you, so growing up, I had lots of gynecological problems. I'm an intersex person, and everything got all messed up on the inside. And so My right ovary was terrible when I was young. It was like every 6 months it would get some big cyst. I'd have to have it drained. And then they'd go in there and there was endometriosis and it was basically a gynecological shit show that they'd have to go and fix.
Right.
In a couple of years it would all happen
right.
again. So when I was 21, I lost my left ovary. When they went in to go fix the right ovary, they realized the left ovary had eaten itself and it was dead. And what was left was this sad little right ovary. So they put me on the medication that put me in menopause and took me out. They put me on high-dose birth control, and that's how I lived for 20 years until I grew a fibroid tumor the size of Jupiter, and I had to go in and have a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And he said to me, do you want that ovary taken out? By now, I had so many gynecological problems that my gynecologist was dead, and I was seeing his son. That's how long it had gone on.
Wow.
So I said, yeah, go get that thing. So when I came out of the surgery, he said, look, We couldn't find the ovary. We looked for 45 minutes, and it wasn't anywhere. And we don't know where it went, but sometimes they just dissolve. But I don't know where it is. So probably it won't be any problems. Because one of the things I think it's nice about having a hysterectomy, especially in the middle of your age, is you get rid of the ovaries. You don't have to worry about ovarian cancer and all that crazy stuff.
Exactly.
So then you and I were on the phone, and this was probably – maybe a year after my hysterectomy, and I was telling you the story that I've told on the air. I hope it's okay that I tell this story. I've never told anybody that it was actually you I was talking to, so I hope this is okay. I always say I'm meeting
yeah,
a friend.
Of course it's okay.
But
you know I don't care.
Telling you this story about how one time when my ex was out of town, I decided to go to bed really early, which I never do because I live with musicians for 2 years, so nobody ever slept. And
yeah,
I went to sleep at night,
for sure.
And I could hear people out by the pool. They were playing music. They were laughing. And I drifted off to sleep at like 10:30. And I woke up, and I was still in my room, and I could still hear the radio. I could still hear the people by the pool. But there were small off-worlder people walking around my bed. And they had little coats on, and they were making notes. And I totally panicked and just laid there and did nothing and closed my eyes. And then I woke up again, and the music was still playing, and the people were still laughing, and my room was dark, and they were gone. And you said to me immediately, you had a problem, and they took care of it. And I said, I don't have
anything. That's right, and that's what I just
said
again. I was like, they were fixing you. Yeah,
right.
They were fixing
you. And you said, did you have, like, a surgery or something happened to you and something was missing? And you didn't. We didn't know each other from Adam.
Wow!
It was literally we'd done one radio show. This was our first phone call, and I said, "Yeah, they couldn't find my ovary," and you said it was trouble. That it was trouble, and they took care of it. So
Wow. Thank
you for saving me from the trouble off-worlders. And this wasn't like angels.
Yeah.
It wasn't God. I mean, this was little
tiny,
3 foot high, gray, stocky, little peeps. But I got to tell you, to this
yes.
day, I have never slept alone with the lights off again because I was like, okay, my ex is out of town. I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock. I'm going to turn all the lights off and be like a normal person. And then what happened?
No.
The friggin' aliens
was
came.
Overrated.
So now no more of that.
Exactly.
And,
oh, no.
And so
this is
because,
so funny. Oh, no, go ahead. I was just remind me to
it
tell
was
you
so
because,
weird because my
the whole
entire
life being
room
off thing
was transformed. There was suddenly a blue
yeah.
glow all over the room, and I know this is weird,
yep.
but they had little coats, and they had little – at the time I thought they were clipboards, but it's funny, now when you go to the hospital and they hold the iPads like a clipboard, I think they probably
uh-huh.
have little computer devices. And they were making notes in them, like way that with a stylus.
Well, they're also
the
like Star Trek.
Mind, yeah, and in my mind, because I'm like, you know, a Gen X person, I thought, oh, they've got clipboards and they're writing in them. But I always thought that was so weird. Like, why would aliens still be using clipboards? But now when you go to the hospital and they use the virtual clipboard, I'm like, oh, that's what they were doing. And they were making notes, and they were walking all over the room, and it scared the shit out of me. It's one of the most scared I've ever been.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, but I don't know that they were technically taking notes because you got to remember too. There's a lot of things, as you well know, that they put on TV programs and movies and stuff that actually happened, but they don't think the world's ready for the truth and the knowledge of it. And if
right.
you look
right.
at some of the machines and things that they use on, like, Star Trek The Next Generation and, you know, all those wonderful sci-fi shows, and they have their handheld things and they're scanning the body and they're like, okay, and they go,
right.
and they, okay,
yeah.
it's more like that because they had different
right.
positions and they had to do different things because they were having to work with your physical form that it is
yeah.
on this planet. So,
and for
just,
all
it's
I know,
funny that you talk about the dark.
And for all I know, I could have been in the ship and they could have just made it look like my room. Who knows?
Well,
who
exactly.
knows? Who knows
and,
where
and,
I was?
And you still, yeah,
it looked like
exactly. Because
they had brought the ship to my bedroom because I could still see the walls and my furniture and hear the pool. It was one of the most bizarre things because, you know, my mother believed that she was a return abductee. And she had seen a visitor once when I was one. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved to California, she started developing these three little red dots behind one ear. And we watched a show once, and they said, oh, yeah, sometimes abductees. And she was like, I pulled her hair back and was like, she's like, I've been thinking they've been abducting me since we came here. So, and, you know, we're right by the water, not where the alien thing did not happen by the water. It happened at my other house, but I grew up like a quarter mile from the water. And I think it's easier for them to access people sometimes when they can just, then they can just go out in the ocean and get away, you know? And my mom lives like, well, now my house is like right on a wildlife preserve. So it's kind of dark. It's not like it's like the city is there, the town is there, but the house where track where she lives is close to, it's like her track, then the wildlife preserve, and then PCH, and then the ocean. So there's nothing like
there
in between there. So you can see all the stars at her house. And so it probably was easy to get in and out of to abduct her, you know. But, God, my place right in the middle of San Fernando Valley. I mean, they had to do some serious skillful parking to get into my place. My friends can't even park and spend the night there. So, but somehow they got in. But, yeah, that was – so everybody who's ever heard that story, that was Mama Lisa that told me that. And
there you go.
What a trip. Yeah. So they do tell you. Sometimes they just – you know, sometimes things are just taken care of for you.
Well, they do, especially because, you know, you just never know what you're going to run into because, I mean, Earth is a training planet. And there's lots of different spiritual things that happen and go on. But there's always a reason, and you may not remember it or you may not understand it, or it could be, you know, if you want to bring in the quantum physics and all that kind of fun stuff. You've got infinite number of dimensions and infinite number of timelines and different things that are going back and forth. And we won't get too deep into all of that stuff, but there's different things that happen. And it could have been that in another one of your timelines, they couldn't find it. The worst happened and they saw what could happen if they didn't fix it. So they went, they came and fixed it. I mean, it's almost as if they were watching a futuristic TV, which I know sounds just crazy, but I'm just trying to think of simple ways to kind of explain some of the stuff that goes on.
No,
I
get that 100%.
Yeah. And it's crazy. And, you know, like that story, and it reminds me now, and I can't think of where the house is located, but literally you can be in the hallway of this house and you step into one of the rooms and it's like you step back in time.
And
if you take a picture of it, sometimes you get a picture of what the room looks like now, or you get a picture of what the room looked like in the 1930s, I think it is, or the 40s, I can't remember. But I think it's very similar. I think when they need to do work like that on a physical body, that they kind of bend the light fragments. They bend the time. They bend that interdimensional door so that you're kind of in both places at once and they're able to take care of it. We sat there. There was a convention that I had to go to, and Mom was doing, okay, this was after one of her fourth replacement surgeries. And I was still staying with her just to make sure. And she goes, well, you go ahead. You know, I'll be fine. I'm getting around good. And I said, okay. And before I left, she had a big black chow. And her front yard and backyard were both fenced in. So you couldn't get from the front to the back without going through the locked gates, okay? And so her dog came in through the kitchen, and I was loading things up in the car, but I was in the laundry room, which is just on the other side of the kitchen. And she came in, and she goes, she said, where'd Smokey go? I said, I don't know. I said, I did, like, got in the house? And she goes, yeah, he came in. I said, no. I said, there's no way. He literally came into the kitchen and disappeared. And I said, okay, well, keep me posted. And she goes, are you sure this doesn't have anything to do with the alien stuff? And I said, no, I'm not. I said, you've got vortexes and portals that bebop around your property all over the, you know, all the time. I said, so it wouldn't surprise me at all. And this same weekend, because she'd originally asked me, she said, do you believe that there's, you know, other beings? And I said, God's not that boring. Why would we have billions of universes and stars and planets and mankind be the only thing that existed? I said, that just doesn't seem logical to me. I said, even if, you know, it doesn't matter what you hear, what you've been taught, what you've been brought up on, that's not logical. She goes, okay, I get that. She goes, I can live with that. And I said, okay. And I'm paraphrasing a lot of stuff and bebopping through. So calls me while I'm at the convention, and she goes, guess who came in the front door with the other dogs? I said, no way. She goes, covered in dead leaves. And she said, I have no idea where they came from. She said, but he's all brushed off and he's in the backyard again. So I get home from the convention and we're talking and we're like, okay. She goes, so I really do think that it was an alien thing. She said, did I tell you that they woke me up and visited me? And I went, no. And she goes, yeah. She goes, it was female. I can't tell you how I knew it was female. She said, you know, I sleep in the pitch black. And I said, yeah. She said, I swear it was like this little light was on. She said, I woke up and I looked at my bedroom door, and she was really short and she was kind of a brownish color. And she looked up and she waved at me, and then she went out the door. And she said, I got up to go and look for her, and she was gone.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
That's how it is. And what do you think that was?
I said, that was them. And I knew what that was. I said, that was them, because at the time, the biggest reason she'd asked, because at the time, MUFON of Georgia was constantly calling me, because they're like, we're having demon issues in some of our cases and we don't know what to do. So I was meeting with them and working on some of their cases with them. And she happened to overhear a few conversations, and that's when she asked me, you really think they're real? And I said, that was their way of, and I said, yeah, I said, I've worked with them. I said, the good ones I've worked with. I said, you've got good and bad and everything, and good and evil and everything. And she said, that was their way of confirming that you aren't crazy. She said, so that I knew that they were actually real. And I said, yeah, it was. And she said, so she goes, okay, I'm good. And as far as I know, that's the only time she's seen them. She's had other experiences.
Wow.
And as she's gotten older, yeah, she's more open, because you got to remember, she's 83 and she came from the mountains of Georgia. And up there, you didn't talk about your gifts and abilities. And
right.
You didn't let people know.
I'm from Kentucky, right? Yeah. Same thing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. You didn't let people know that you could see things or that you could hear things. So my mom literally just incorporated it into her system. And I got news to you. Growing up, I see it now. I didn't see it then, you know, and I saw it when I got older. But she could literally meet someone, and she could tell you exactly what they were, who they were, if they were good or bad. And you know what? I have yet to see her misproven.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And now she's
right.
Like, okay, I see this. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom, I think when we moved to California, she became much more open about talking about it. Because, you know, she was from Kentucky.
Well, yeah, she had others that would. Yeah.
and then, you know, got adopted into a family in upstate New York, and my grandmother was very prim, proper daughter of the Mayflower. Like, she would have shit a brick. I think now sometimes that all the crazy shit that I am and all the crazy shit that I talk about that my mom was on the air, like, the ghost of my grandmother has never stopped rolling in the grave. I think it's actually kind of hysterical. And, you know, it's funny because I just connected, thanks to Facebook, with almost all of my cousins, my mother's adopted siblings. They were all adopted. Their kids.
Right.
And of which I'm the youngest. And, you know, they're all kind of unfluffed by everything that I am. They're all, like, put up, like, nice, you know, little stars and hearts and stuff when I put up stuff about my partner and I, and they're all really good about my crazy psychic shit, and yeah, they're fine. But I think my grandmother literally, yeah, that's a hoot. And the fact that it was my mother, because my mother was kind of always her demon stepchild, because
right.
she didn't fall into line the way that she should have. I mean, she's a good girl. She didn't do bad
things,
she didn't per se,
conform.
But she questioned. She questioned, and you weren't supposed to question,
yes.
right? So the fact
that's right, you're just supposed to conform. You're not supposed to,
right?
Yep.
Super psychic rebel with a super psychic, you know, queer child. I'm sure that's good. That's good. People need more of that. Take that, upstate New York and Kentucky.
Oh, honey. Oh, yeah. No, all the trouble I would get into as a kid. Oh my God! And just simply for being me. Because I questioned everything, and because, you know, we've talked about this before. We've talked about this even on your radio shows. I went to a Christian school, and I would get into trouble because I would say, they're teaching it wrong. They're teaching it wrong.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be afraid of God. Fear is not a part of it. And they go, oh, fear equals respect. I said, then it doesn't need to be called fear. And other little things. I'm like, nope, they're teaching it wrong. And I would get into trouble, and my dad would just go, please. Just take the test the way they tell you to, pass the grade, and move on with life. And, you know, and I did, but he, and that was one thing that he did apologize to me for when I got older, but he looked at me, he said, we've been teaching it wrong all these years. And I just looked at him, I said, I told you so. And he said, you did. He said, you really did. And my mom, she goes, I didn't know about this. And I said, you were a female mom. It was a Baptist church. Don't you remember? You were really nothing. You were just supposed to serve the man. She goes, yeah, that didn't
make
work too
cookies.
Well for me. And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like,
right.
yeah, that didn't work
right.
too well for me.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. And that's the same thing over here, because my mama was kind of little and petite and, you know, feminine
yeah.
compared to my aunt, who was very tomboyish. My grandmother decided that my mother was going to be the homemaker, so she made her go to a school and get a home ec degree, which my mother hated, and had got an art minor, which is, I think, the thing that saved her. And then, you know, my mom wanted to go into the family business, which was psychology, and I think my grandmother didn't want to be out rock starred, so that was greatly discouraged. And my mom was so much more than a
yeah.
homemaker. But that's
yep.
what, you know, sometimes parents decide what their kids are going to be, which is so wrong. And so she,
yeah,
just, she just rebelled
against
the whole lot of
stuff.
It's not
for you to decide.
Stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
that's like.
Not for anybody to decide what anybody's going to be. Everybody gets to pick their own life. That's called free will.
It's supposed to. And you look at all these kids, you know, well, your father's a doctor. You're going to be a doctor. Well, no, that doesn't mean that he has to be or that he needs to be. But that's how a lot of these situations are perceived, and it's like, well,
yeah.
what did you come here to do? You know, you came here for a specific reason. You embodied this particular person to do the things that nobody else is going to do. It's not like they're gonna, you know, take up and go, oh, well, you know, Johnny didn't do his job, so, you know, I'm gonna do it for him. No, that's not how it works. Do they work around it and they make things happen? Well, yeah. You know, things are made to happen, but for someone to choose and tell you, you have to be this way, that's not how it's supposed to be. And that's not how things work. And everyone should have the right to do and be who they are and take care of things the way they are. That's, you know, and especially, we had, you know, here in the wonderful Bible Belt, you know, there were so many things. I mean, my kids, my children were like, you know, you have a lot of gay friends, Mom. And I went, yeah, I tend to be attracted, or they tend to be attracted to me, whatever. I said, it just happens. I said, we're just free spirits. I said, that's what they're attracted to. But it was very interesting with a lot of things, because Kyle, who I was talking to, and he said to tell you hello. He might be over here tomorrow night, by the way.
Oh, he's a sweetheart. I love him.
But he goes, oh, my God. He goes, Sheena, tell her I love her. But, you know, he was 11, and I've told you about this. And he came in, and Randy was up on a high ladder painting and looked at him and said, would you still love me if I was gay? Randy put his paintbrush down, because I wasn't home yet, because this is usually one of those where he'd yell for me to make sure that he, quote, unquote, handled it right. But he turned around and looked at him, and he said, Kyle, I don't care if you have a different sexual preference than I do. I'm going to love you because, you know, he's like, you may be my stepson, but you're my kid. He said, and I'm going to love you no matter what. And so Kyle was like, okay. And he said, are you trying to tell me something? He said, do we need to talk? Or, you know, he goes, no. He said, he had a friend of his that was one of his best friends at school. He'd gone to school with them since like the second grade. And he said he's having to move to another state to live with his grandmother because he came out and he told his parents that he's pretty sure that he's gay and that he always has been, and his dad disowned him and is forcing him to go live with his grandma. He said, and I didn't understand it. He said, because your mom's always taught us to love everybody, you know, and, you know, not see color of skin and to see the color of the heart when it comes to people, you know, their character and stuff. And he said, so we never really talked about it. He said, and I thought you'd be okay. He said, but I just wanted to know. And I thought, how sad, how horribly sad. This kid, you know, they had not done anything wrong. They were being who they are. And they were being rejected by people. And I think that is one of the most horrific things that happen, and especially in this quote-unquote cancel culture world, you know, as adults or even just as regular folk, you know, we should be able to talk about anything. And we should have our own opinions because that's what makes the world go round. But today it's, well, if you don't think exactly like I do, then you're not okay. And it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. It doesn't matter if you're east, west, north, or south. And I think that that is horrible because it's teaching people, you don't see you the way I see you. You're wrong. And
right,
it's on so many levels. Everybody goes, oh, well, it's just about this. No, 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 no. This is on so many levels. And people have let the compassion go out of their hearts. And that's why I can't believe it's been since 2016 that you started this. But I think it is so important. I did then and I do now to build other people up, to tell them that they're loved, to tell them that they're special, to tell them that somebody cares. Because so many
RaisingTheVibration.org is my movement if you're all interested. Yes. Well, it was
that's
my mom's
right.
teaching. After my mom died, because my mom, I mean, so when my mom died, I mean, I knew this, but when somebody dies, something really hits home. And when my mom died, I realized how much of me passing on how she raised me helped to heal other people. And people would come up to me and say, I feel like I know your mom just by the way you talk about her. And, you know, when my friends started coming out, because I was raised in a very conservative part of Southern California, they all came and lived at my house. They didn't have to go out of state. They came and lived in my house, and my mom took care of them, and she she fed them and took care of them and loved them and made them laugh. And we had pool parties, and you know what I mean? And they could bring over their boyfriends, and they could bring over their – listen to whatever music they wanted to listen to, and there was, like, zero judgment. She saved people. Now, when my friend Paul I just said his name, but he wouldn't care. He lived at my house for a while. His parents were terrible. They're wonderful now, but at the time they were very Catholic and very terrible. And
They didn't know
when
any
my mother
better.
Died,
they knew what they were taught.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When my mother died, he called me. We went to high school together. When my mother died, he called me and he said, "I don't know what's going on, but I can't stop crying thinking about your mom, and I don't know what's happening." And I said, "Sweetheart, do you remember when you lived with me? Do you remember all those nights you sat up and talked to my mom when your parents wouldn't talk to you and she took care of you?"
Yep.
And he said, "You know what? I've blocked out so much of the trauma of my first years out that I didn't remember that, but now I do." And I said,
wow.
"Yeah, she pulled you through that, and Eric and everybody
yeah.
else who lived in the house. It was that's how she was." So when she died, I realized how the world would be if everybody had been raised by her, and that the way that
right?
I could do that was to start this movement and give a little bit of her or a lot bit of her to everybody. And that's why
yes.
it's so important to me, because all of it comes from her. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, I spent the first 50 years of my life soaking up her teachings, and I'm spending the next 50 sharing them with the world. But
right, but it's not just her. This is, it's you too.
It
it's
is.
Not just her.
It is.
I know that you started it, no. Just like, you know, you fought forever. I'm not a psychic medium, whatever. I was so proud and so happy when you finally came out with that. But it's not just her. Because the thing is you've taken it and you have also put your twist on it, your knowledge,
yes.
your experiences. This is just as much and a huge part of you and who you are as it was with her.
Yes.
You got to own it, sweetheart. You got to own it.
Yes.
You got to let
and
the
I
world
do.
Know.
And I
yes,
do.
You started this. No, you don't.
But
you
I
give
also...
her all the credit, and you've got to.
I do. I give her all the credit, and I give
yeah.
her the rest of the credit. Yeah. But...
Right. And the thing is you are disservicing so many people and so many friends when you do not accept and acknowledge your part in all of that as well. Yes, you may
yeah.
be the representative.
Right.
Yes, you may be doing that. But it also comes from your love, from your heart, and from the things that you give and provide to people as well. Because, you know, all those fabulous, wonderful things that you've said about me, you're just as dear a friend to me. You have been there for me. There have been times that I'm like, look, I can't talk about this with anybody else. And you know I don't do that often. And it's usually if
yeah.
I just hit the lowest and I'm like, I need to talk. And we have talked, I mean, there are things that, girl, I'm never going to have you on my bad side because, you know where the bodies are buried. And
well, yeah, touche.
but the thing is, and especially in this day and age and the time and the things that are coming, there are so many people that are hurting and so many people that have, they don't know where to turn. They're like, okay, I'm going to follow Joe Blow because I don't know how to make this decision by myself. I don't know where to go. I don't know what's up. I don't know what's down. And things that we normally would be talking about and helping each other with, folks are not. I mean, you got a lot of
yeah,
darkness
you're right.
hit. You know, I yeah. never thought I'd ever see it this blatant in your face. And I'm like, whoa. And
oh, I did. I did, and I think it may even be more blatant. Yeah, I did. It's
there
funny
will be. Oh,
whenever,
it's not done yet.
We were talking about how, like, films tell real stories sometimes of things. They're a fake.
Yes.
They're a fictional story, but it's something that's really going to happen. And I believe it that a lot
yes.
of times it's because either the writer has channeled it or the writer has consulted with somebody who channels. But sometimes when I watch
uh-huh.
these sci-fi Marvel-esque battles of good and evil that are really right in your face,
uh-huh.
I think, oh yeah, that's
yes.
that's coming.
Yeah, it
oh
is.
Oh my God,
it
as
is.
You said that,
and
a giant thunderstorm just started here, and you know it never rains here and it never thunders.
There's
literally
go.
A giant
There's
thunderstorm happening right now. Lightning is coming
but,
in the windows. There's it's
but
hail.
The thing is, and this is the other thing that we know as well, the ending has already been written.
Sure.
And it's going to happen. And yes. it's regardless of how many script changes there are along the way, the sun is going to shine, the love is going to heal, and the truth is going to live.
Yes, 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 exactly. Well, you caused a hailstorm, Mama Lisa. How about that? There's a full-on hailstorm happening here right now. For all of you who don't believe that's actually happening, there's not just a thunderstorm, but there's hail. My spirit daughter just ran in and went, "It's hailing," and she's spelling hail out for me with an A. My poor kitten has never seen hail before. He's probably completely beside himself.
Oh,
that little healer. Isn't that nice that spirit sent me a new familiar just as mine was getting ready to pass? Isn't that the most amazing thing?
Yes. Yes.
I guess
always.
I'm always supposed
always.
To have a familiar, right?
That, yes, you are.
Guy,
there's a reason for it. Yes.
An Easter Sunday baby 2 days after my birthday.
Oh.
And he is like, it's funny because when I work with Molly, my beautiful Scorpio that died in November, she was 18.
Yeah.
We were so close, but she was more like my mother than she was like me. My mother was also a Scorpio. This one is like my twin. And
I was about to say,
like,
I could feel that energy. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. We're, like, connected at the soul. And, like, every morning when he gets up, the first thing he has to do is crawl in my arms and hug me and kiss me. He is, like, a very, you know, Molly was great with me, but she didn't like other people. This man shared, he's an Aries man. He shares his love with the world.
He's like, come here. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to hug and kiss you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. He
I love it.
The housekeepers because he doesn't understand why the housekeepers come and change the energy of the house. I don't know what kind of witches he thinks they are, but he's like, they come and they go and the house is different. I don't know. They must be something's going on. You are the
like
most wonderful in the world, sweetheart. What a joy to have you here. Let's do this again soon. And where can people find you online?
Well, they can find me, I guess, on Facebook. I literally right now, I'm still kind of incognito. Those that have needed to find me have been finding me, so they can send me an email at Lisa, L-I-S-A, at Mama Lisa Cares, which is MamaLisaCares.com. And
beautiful.
Yeah, because other than that, I'm just kind of still... You know, when you have a kid and you have karate and basketball and baseball and there's one day of the week where you get to go, oh, thank you, Lord, let me sit down. It takes a lot of energy.
Sure.
I forgot it needed. Yeah, so, but if I'm needed, they'll find a way to me.
I get that. I have two spirit children just starting college, and with one, I'm the tutor. So I'm loving
it. There you go.
But, yeah.
Heck
all
yeah.
right, my friend, you are the best. Thank you for being here and sharing a little bit of you with my listeners. It's so important to share a little bit of your beautiful to everybody. Everyone, the beautiful Mama Lisa Phillips, isn't she fantastic? And what a wonderful person.
Love you.
What a joy to have you here, sweetheart. I love you, my darling. Raising the Vibration Radio, that's for the show. Sheena Metal Spiritual, that's for me and all your spiritual and psychic needs. Find me on social media at Sheena Metal everywhere. Liveparanormal.com, that's the network, iHeartRadio.com, thrilled to be a part of that family, also Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, and the rest. My movement, RaisingTheVibration.org, until I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration. I love you all, and I'll see you next time. Take care.